بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه، أما بعد. الحمد لله. We're still in chapter 45, and chapter 45 is of course about the Hashar, the gathering on the Day of Judgment. And we are in the next hadith, where Imam al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنَا قَيْسِ ابْنُ حَفْصِ حَدَّثَنَا خَالِدِ ابْنُ الْحَارِثِ حَدَّثَنَا حَاتِمِ ابْنَ أَبِي صَغِيرَةِ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنَ أَبِي مُلَيْكَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي الْقَاسِمِ ابْنُ مُحَمَّدِ ابْنِ أَبِي بَكْرِ أَنَّ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تُحْشَرُونَ حُفَاةً عُرَاةً غُرْلًا قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها فقلت يا رسول الله الرجال والنساء ينظر بعضهم إلى بعض فقال الأمر أشد من أن يهمهم ذلك. So we've spoken about the narrations preceding this, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم describes how every single person will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment barefoot and naked, and there are some exceptions to that, of course, but that is the general case for human beings. So in this hadith, this other narration, the same statement is made by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: the people will be gathered barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. And here Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, will the men and the women look at each other? He said, the situation will be too intense for them to pay attention to that, or for that to concern them in the least. Now, this narration proves that men and women are included in this general description of the state of people on the Day of Judgment. And there's another narration of the same report recorded by Imam al-Hakim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا ينظر الرجال إلى النساء ولا النساء إلى الرجال شغل بعضهم عن بعض. It says that on that day, men will not look at women and women will not look at men. Each of them will be too preoccupied to even consider that. The bigger lesson here is that on the Day of Judgment, it's a day of intensity, and people will be too preoccupied with their own salvation to even be thinking about what is otherwise instinctual. This is instinct. We don't believe the human beings are free of having that natural instinct. What is the instinct I'm speaking of? It's the natural instinct that if a person of the opposite gender is presented before you in that state, it's the instinct to want to look, even though you lower your gaze. There's not even a question of lowering the gaze on that day, because people will be too preoccupied to even take notice of the opposite gender and their state on the Day of Judgment. Another lesson from this hadith is that people will be too preoccupied to even have the thought of going to hang out with their friends and chill and relax. There's none of that. There's no relaxing. There's no free time to hang around on that day or to be concerned with others. And this is what is described in this narration. Now the next couple of narrations are, the next two we cover, are a little bit different. And they talk about the status or the majority of people in hell versus Jannah. Imam al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنِي مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنُ بَشَّارِ حَدَّثَنَا غُنْدَرْ حَدَّثَنَا شُعَبَى عَنْ أَبِي إِسْحَاقِ عَنْ عَامُرْ إِبْنْ مَيْمُونَ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قال كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قبة فقال أترضون أن تكونوا ربع أهل الجنة قلنا نعم قال أترضون أن تكونوا ثلث أهل الجنة قلنا نعم قال والذي نفس محمد بيده إني لأرجو أن تكونوا شطر أهل الجنة وذلك أن الجنة لا يدخلها إلا نفس مسلمة وما أنتم في أهل الشرك إلا كشعرة البيضاء في الجلد الثور الأسود أو كشعرة السوداء في جلد الثور الأحمر. So this comes from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, or Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. He says, while we were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a tent, he said, would it please you to be 1/4 of the people of paradise? We said, yes. He said, would it please you to be 1/3 of the people of paradise? We said, yes. He said, would it please you to be 1/2 of the people of paradise? We said, yes. Thereupon he said, I hope that you will be 1/2 of the people of paradise, for none will enter paradise but a Muslim soul, illa nafsun muslima. And you people, in comparison to the people who associate others with Allah in worship, are like a white hair on the skin of a black ox, or a black hair on the skin of a red ox. We'll read the next narration because it's very similar and we put them together. After this, Imam al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلِ حَدَّثَنِي أَخِي عَنْ سُلَيْمَانَ عَنْ ثَوْرَ عَنْ أَبِي الْغَيْثِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُدْعَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ آدَمُ فَتَرَى ذُرِّيَّتُهُ فَيُقَالُ هَذَا أَبُوكُمْ آدَمُ فَيَقُولُ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ فَيَقُولُ أَخْرِجْ بَعْثَ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِكَ فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ كَمْ أُخْرِجْ فَيَقُولُ أَخْرِجْ مِنْ كُلِّ 199 فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَا أُخِذَ مِنَّا مِنْ كُلِّ 199 فَمَاذَا يَبْقَى مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّ أُمَّتِي فِي الْأُمَمِ كَشَعَرَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ فِي الثَّوْرِ الْأَسْوَدِ. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first man to be called on the day of judgment will be Adam, who will be shown his offspring. That's every single human being. And it will be said to them, this is your father, Adam. Adam will say, responding to the call, Labbayka wa sa'adayk. Then Allah will say to Adam, take out of your offspring the people of hell. Adam will say, O Lord, how many should I take out? Allah will say, take out 99 out of every 100. The Prophet's companion said, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet, if 99 out of every 100 of us are taken away, what will remain out of us? He said, my followers in comparison to the other nations are like a white hair on a black ox. Now, there's a number of hadith like this, and when you put them all together, it can be a little confusing, and that is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses different numbers to describe the majority of the inhabitants of hell versus those in Jannah. In another hadith recorded by Bukhari, it mentions that those who are sent to hell will be 99 from every 100, and in this hadith you see it mentions that those who will be saved are basically a 10 in 1,000, or 1 in 1,000. So what you have here are narrations that have to be reconciled and understood together. So there's different ways the scholars have tried to reconcile these hadith in terms of the numbers of people who go to Jannah versus those who go to hell. Some of them have said that these numbers are not taken literally. So by stating a particular number, it doesn't mean that there may not be more than that. Now, a person may wonder, well, why would we not take it literally? And the answer is that in the Arabic language, oftentimes numbers are indicating abundance without being literal. For instance, the hadith that mentioned 70 or 700 or 70,000, that is generally an expression for abundance, mutlaqul kathra. So it's the same here, according to some scholars. And it's basically speaking about the small number of believers in relation to the large number of disbelievers in the big picture of all of humanity. Some of the ulama say that it may be that the division is actually twofold, that there's a division that occurs twice. One that involves all of the umam that came before this ummah, and then where the number will be 1 in every 1,000, And then again for this ummah only, when the number will be 10 in every 1,000, that is a view as well. And then some of the ulama say that what is meant by this statement, those who are sent to hell, is referring to both the disbelievers who died upon kufr and shirk, as well as the usat, or the disobedient Muslims who are there perhaps temporarily for some time, who will enter it. So you have some that are there eternally and some that are there for some time, as Allah purifies them of their sins in that punishment. And so that every 1,000, out of every 1,000, 999 of them are sent, and from every 100, 99 sinners are sent. So there's different ways they've tried to put the numbers together, but the broader lesson that one should draw, beyond reconciling the narrations, the broader lesson is to understand that a Muslim should seek to be among the qalil. And we've spoken about this a couple of weeks ago, that when you look in the Quran through an inductive reading and look up the word akthar, the majority, in every single instance, the quality that comes after majority is negative. Aktharuhum la yu'minun, la ya'qilun, la ya'lamun, la yashkurun. Every quality after the majority is a negative quality. Most of them do not believe. Most of them do not use their intellect. Most of them do not know. Most of them are not grateful. Most of them do not believe. So one should seek to be among the qalil. And to be among the qalil means that you seek to be from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are from that qalil. What that means more broadly is that you have to be aware of just following trends and popularity, right? People follow all sorts of trends, they follow the crowd, and most people who succumb to kufr and shirk and worshipping other than Allah, they do it because of taqlidul aba. They do it because of following their forefathers. Go to any country where idol worship is the norm. Ask those people, why are you doing this? Why do you believe this? Most of them don't have any rational answer for that. It's simply something they inherited from their forefathers. Now, it takes someone from that line to break the trend and embrace truth, right? If you go to India, for example, somewhere, because a lot of you are from the subcontinent, somewhere along the line, one of your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers broke that line, broke that trend, thought for himself and reflected, and Allah opened his heart to guidance. And before that, his forefathers were probably like that too, upon idol worship, right? Same thing for my family, right? My parents, my grandparents, great-grandparents going back, Christians, same thing. Most of us following our forefathers without giving any thought. Now Imam al-Ghazali talks about this in his Al-Munqidh min al-Dalal, which is kind of like his spiritual autobiography. It's like his story about what led him to his journey. And he tells the story that in his crisis, as he withdrew from teaching in the Nizamiya seminary, he was reflecting, am I only a Muslim due to the accident of birth? If I was born into a Christian household, would I be a Christian? If I was born into a Jewish household, would I be a Jew? Am I only a Muslim because I was born into a Muslim family? Or am I Muslim because of a conscious choice? So to really embrace guidance, I tell people, especially young people living in this society who were born to Muslim parents, you were born into a Muslim family, and you are Muslim, alhamdulillah. But it's almost like you have to convert to Islam insofar as you make a conscious choice that I'm not just a Muslim by accident of birth. I'm not just a Muslim because it's a part of my ethnic identity. No, I make a conscious decision to be a Muslim. And when you make that conscious decision, it's not a conversion where you're going from kufr to iman, but you are taking it seriously. And you are committing to the deen based on basira, based on some insight and reflection. Otherwise, a person could just be a Muslim due to accident of birth. That's the greater lesson And that's the greatest pitfall of following forefathers, is that it's not based on guidance, right? And you look in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala condemns taqleedul aba, meaning blindly following the ways of forefathers without insight. If there's insight and you follow their way and their way was guidance, alhamdulillah, that's good. But there has to be some reflection. And that ends the chapter on the hashar. And inshallah, tomorrow we will go to the next chapter, chapter 46, which is about the approach of the final hour and different descriptions of the Day of Judgment. And the way Imam al-Bukhari is structuring this work, Kitab al-Riqaq, is after describing the Day of Judgment and these details, he then goes into a description of Jannah and Jahannam. It will probably be ending with a description of Jannah through numerous hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.